We have a big machlokes. What should we be giving share on today? So on the one hand, it's almost time for the bechina. So some guys wanted to continue to do Masech Shabbos, the Chazav for Shabbos. The other hand, Shabbat Mutz. You have to do a little bit something in the end of the Yoma. So I thought. I figured, okay, we'll talk about Shemitah. That's Dov Hashem L'chol Nefesh. That has to do with Shabbos Lashem, and has to do with Yom HaTzibur Eretz Yisrael as well. So reminded me of, it's very easy to remember when the story happened. It happened 7 years ago, more than 7 years ago, during the last Shemitah. So I had a very unique privilege to take a group of bachur from the yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael during the winter break. Those who want to see the pictures, the pictures are still sitting in my office now, 7 years later. But we had a very, very unique opportunity. We went to, I don't know if any of the boys still around who were with that group. I don't see any familiar faces from them. So we basically went to learn Hilcha Shmita in Eretz Yisrael. We spent the first half of every day of our winter break learning the sugyas and the bismedrish and the bris at the time. We were going over all the sugyas of Hilcha Shmita, and then the afternoons and the evenings that we spent time on the road, on time on the farm, times with the kibbutzim and the moshavim and the greenhouses throughout the country to try to see how Hilcha Shmita is implemented, halach l'maisa b'zman hazeh. So it was a fascinating trip. So what I always felt was the, I don't know if necessarily the lumbish highlight, but definitely the emotional highlight, was we at one point we were visiting an esrog pardes, an esrog orchard, down somewhere in the down the south somewhere. And there was an old fellow there who was showing us how he raises his esrogim, and he explained to us about all the details of Shemitah, what you can do, you can't do, not all the stories. So finally, at the end, I turned around to all the boys. I said, you know, here we're involved in the learning of sugya for the Shemitah of Shabbos Lashem. It's such a beautiful, such a slava, such enthusiasm. I said, how can you celebrate Hilcha Shabbos without having his mirrors? So it was Tuesday afternoon. So everyone was looking, what should we see? Yom Zimuchu, what should we see exactly? So I was thinking, I think we have to sing Yisbechum Achus Chasham Shabbos for Kuri Ernig. So Kachava. So here we took this old esrog grower in our circle, and we danced around the esrog trees. Mamash was one of those surreal, out of body experiences. We were standing around and dancing around the trees, singing Yisbechum Achus Chasham Shabbos. I said, I think the Panovich Rav would have been very proud of us, because they say from the Panovich Rav that during the Shemitah he would walk up to the trees and wish them good Shabbos. So that was put things into the proper spirit of things. Anyway. So that's the introduction. Now let's start to talk some real stuff. So we probably don't have enough time for the next 35 to 40 minutes to discuss all of Hilcha Shmita, but at least we can give a little bit of an introduction, and the introduction really is, what exactly is the status of Shmita Bizman Hazeh? And really the answer to that question is going to have some very, very serious ramifications. Sometimes I'll say as a joke, it's a multi-billion-dollar question. This is a multi-billion-dollar question. This is a very, very serious question. Halach l'maisa, just what exactly is the status of Shmita Bizman Hazeh? So you open up a Chumash, and by golly, it could also be a Parsha Shir. It happens to be Parsha Bahar. Good coincidence here. So you open up the Chumash, and the Chumash tells us, what do you mean, what Shemitah? Shemitah is a Din D'Oraisa. The Risurim and the Mitzvah, Sheshanim Tizor Sadecha, Sheshanim Tizor Bokamecha. We know Chorei Zareya. We know all this back from the Shabbos days, early in the year. So there are Din D'Oraisa, the Pasim Chumash. How can anybody question what Shemitah is all about? However, there is a sugya in the Gemara in the Rishon, Shulchan Aruch, about is that really true, Bizman Hazeh? Are the dinim of Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh, really the Araisa? Or is there some reason to believe that the Parish or Pashas Bahar doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh? Maybe Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh is not the Araisa. If it's not the Araisa, what is it? I'm still not sure yet. But that's the first question we have to ask ourselves. Is Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh, the dinim, the Psukhim of Pashas Bahar, really knowing him, Minatari, Bizman Hazeh? So the first question you have to ask yourself is, well, we know that Shemitah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's pretty obvious. It's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. So does the status of Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh remain b'kedushas? Do all the dinim of mitzvahs tluyas ba'aretz apply min ha'Torah b'zman hazeh? That was one of the early shiurim today. This truma b'zman hazeh deraisa, ma'aseh b'zman hazeh deraisa, all the mitzvahs tluyas b'zman hazeh deraisa. Why should anybody think not that way? So that's a famous machlokes ha'tanoim, maroim, sugyos and shas about Kedusha Rishonin, Kedusha Shnia. Eretz Yisrael was niskatra several times throughout our history. It was first niskatra in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and then it was second time around niskatra in the days of Ezra, the days of Ba'isheni. So there's a big machlokes in the Gemara whether those Kedushos, one of them or both of them or either of them, are still nohagos, even at a time when Klal Yisrael is no longer in Eretz Yisrael, or the base. The Mikdash is no longer built, whatever the point of demarcation is. So basically it boils down to, without getting into all the riots back and forth, it boils down to a major, major machlekes Rishonim about what is the status of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Trumas and Maisras, other mitzvahs, Baretz, Bizman HaZeh, Minat Torah, or not. So the Rambam Shita is that what we call Kedusha Shnia is Kitcha La'asid Lavo. The Rambam holds that Trumas and Maisus in theory, I say that word hesitantly, so theory should be Deraisa Bizman Azeh, because the Raman Paskins, that even though Kedusha Rishona of Yeshua was Nispatla at the time of the Churban, Kedusha Shni of Ezra is Kayemis the Olivod, why that should be so is another story. But the Raman Sheet is very clear in the beginning of the Trumas and Maisus, the beginning of the Trumas, that Kedusha Shni isn't a Heges in full force Bizman Azeh, and therefore the corollary of that statement should be that all the mitzvahs of Luis Moritz should be Deraisa Bizman Azeh. As a quirk, the Rambam happens to say, by the way, Trumas and Maisus is not there, Haisib is not as there, for a totally different reason. Not because the Kedusha is per se not present, but the Rambam happens to have a unique Shita, which many Rishonim disagree with, that in order for Trumas and Maisus to be there, Haisib, you have to have what's called Bias Kulchem. You have to have all of Klai Yisrael, the majority of Klai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which may not exist, probably still demographically doesn't exist, and may even in a few years from now, maybe halachically doesn't exist, but that's already another sugya. But the Rambam says that in theory, the mitzvah plus baritz are deraisa and bizman hazeh. Trumas and maisus are somewhat of an exception to the rule, but fundamentally, kedushas ha'aretz is kayemis. And the Sefer HaTruma, no pun intended, but Rebbeinu Baruch and the Sefer HaTruma disagrees, and he says that no, that kedushas ha'aretz is betela bizman hazeh, that the agricultural mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael don't apply bizman hazeh min haTorah, because once the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, so then the whole kedushas ha'aretz was nispatla. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that don't mistakenly think that according to Rebbeinu Baruch it means Eretz Yisrael isn't special Bizman Hazeh. That's absurd. Chassam Sofer says that there are two dinim of Eretz Yisrael, that either Ramban, the beginning of Gittin already said this idea, that there's an agricultural dimension of Eretz Yisrael, and then there's a different part. The Ramban coins the phrase Chibus Ha'aretz. It's a Mocham Hashchina, it's the Eretz that was promised to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, it's a place of Klal Yisrael. That's a different halacha, says the Chassam Sofer, that has no bearing on this discussion. We're talking in pure lomdus, in pure halacha, do the mitzvahs that Luis Baritz apply? Is there agricultural kedushas Eretz? The fact that Eretz Yisrael is special, that's a Dava Poshet, that was never discussed, that there's nothing to negotiate about that, that's always been special since the days of Parshas Lech Lecha. But in terms of the pure mitzvahs of Luis Baritz, so one can argue that those mitzvahs don't apply Bizman Hazeh. So according to Rabbeinu Baruch, it's obvious that Shemitah cannot be deraisa. If it's not technically Eretz Yisrael for agriculture, if it's not Kedushas Eretz for Trumas and Maisus, how can it possibly be Kedushas Eretz for Shemitah? So according to Rabbeinu Baruch, it's clear that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh cannot be deraisa. Maybe it's derabbanan, but it cannot be deraisa. What about according to the Rambam? So according to the Rambam, who says that mitzvahs hatluyas baaretz in theory are deraisa Bizman Hazeh, Trumas and Maisus may be the exception to the rule. What would the Rambam say about Shemitah? That's a very, very loaded question. What would the Rambam say about Shemitah? Why would one think that Shemitah doesn't apply to Zman HaZem in a Torah according to the Rambam? So there are other groups of Rishonim, other Rishonim that have Gittin, who point out that maybe there's a technical reason why Shemitah doesn't apply Minat Torah Bizman Hazeh. Maybe it's based on the connection between Shemitah and Yovel. Maybe Shemitah and Yovel are a package deal, and Yovel for sure doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. That's a pasuk in this week's parasha. Ukrasim Dra Ba'aretz Lechol Yeshveh. Favorite pasuk on the Liberty Bell. You have to declare liberty to all the inhabitants, and all the inhabitants thereof, etc. So the Gemara said, Rashi says, Erechin Kol Yeshveh Leha. The dinim of Yovel only apply when you have Kol Yisrael Lev, when you have all of Klai Yisrael, or at least the representatives of each of the Shvatim of Klai Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. If you're lacking Kol Yisrael Lev, then Yovel for sure doesn't apply. So many, many Rishonim, including quite possibly the Rambam, are of the opinion that Shemitah is also in a sense, an exception to the rule. It should have been Deraisa, but it's not Deraisa because it's lacking the Parsha of Yovel. So we have really three different logical possibilities what a take on Shemitah Bizman Hazeh Deraisa should be. There are some Rishonim who say it is Deraisa, as the Pasuk says. Eretz Yisrael is B'Kedushas Bizman Hazeh. There's no Gezeiras HaKos of Yovel. We don't believe in the Yovel Shemitah package. Avada Eretz Yisrael is B'Kedushas and Shemitah is Deraisa. That's one group of Rishonim. Then you have other groups of Rishonim who say no, it's only Midrabanan for a variety of reasons. Either because Nisbat L'Kedushas HaAretz, that's the approach of Rabbeinu Baruch, or maybe it's only Derabanan because of the Gezeiras HaKos, it's not similar, it has to be part of the Parsha of Yovel, which on technical grounds doesn't apply. So we have three different possibilities. Does any of this make any difference, the halacha? I mean, my nafkamina, we're deraisa derabanan, we're very religious people, we're observant Jews, we keep deraisas, we keep derabanans, we don't drive on Shabbos, we don't move mukts on Shabbos, we eat matzah at the Seder, we light Neres Chanukah, we like to do deraisas and derabanans. So why does it make much of a difference to us whether Shemitah is deraisa, derabanan, is there any real nafkamina in here? So there is a famous sugya that appears in the fourth parak of Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara discusses the possibility of land that is, although geographically in Eretz Yisrael, maybe the Kedushas HaAretz can be Pacha, with the subsequent result being that the mitzvahs would not apply. What could possibly be mafkir the kedushas ha'aretz? So the Gemara discussed the possibility if a non-Jew owns that land. Yesh kinyan la'avik yichavim lafkir midei trumas ha'maisers, or ain kinyan la'avik yichavim lafkir midei trumas ha'maisers. The fact that a piece of land is within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but happens right now to belong to a non-Jew, is that enough that the mitzvah lois baretz would no longer apply? So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara, and we paskin halacha, the overwhelming majority opinion seems to be that we paskin halacha that ain kinyan la'akom be'eretz Yisrael lafkir midei trumas ha'maisers, that a non-Jew does not have that koach, does not have that authority, does not have that ability by merely buying land in Eretz Yisrael to have any effect whatsoever on the mitzvahs of Luis Barnes. Notwithstanding that Gemara, the Gemara in the middle of that sugya does point out that that statement is not always true. There is an exception to that rule, and the exception to that rule is the area of Eretz Yisrael that's called Surya. Famous Gemara is in the beginning of Maseches Git and other places, that there were parts of quote-unquote Eretz Yisrael that were not quite Kachim with Tushas Eretz Yisrael. The northern parts of Eretz Yisrael, the Syria area, which were conquered by David HaMelech, so the Gemara says, are fall into the category of what's called Kibush Yochid. They were a private type of a Kibush. Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly that term means. But basically, they weren't full-fledged Eretz Yisrael. And as such, their obligation in Trumas and Maizos, for technical halachic reasons, was only Midirabonim. So the Gemara says the following split in Maseches Gittin, that even though we paskin that a goy cannot be mafkia the mitzvahs atluyas baretz, but he can be mafkia the mitzvahs as they relate to Surya. Presumably, since Surya is only midirabanan, so the Chacham instituted that vis-a-vis Surya, yesh koch liakom mafkia yidei trumas and maizos. So that's how we paskin this split lahalocha. In Eretz Yisrael proper, a goy owning it l'malach l'merit won't make a difference. A goy owning part of Surya, that's going to make a big difference. So now the question becomes, the real multi-million dollar question is as follows. Can we make the following equation halacha? Can we say that Surya, which is l'maisa de Rabbanon, the Gemara of the says de Rabbanon, is Surya the halacha equivalent of basically Eretz Yisrael is Man Hazeh? That's the question. If you say that the whole chiv of Trumas Maisa, Shemit, etc., even in Eretz Yisrael proper, Bizman Hazeh is only mid Rabbanon, so maybe one could argue the following comparison. Well, if in Surya yesh koach liakom lafkia, so then in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh also yesh koach liakom lafkia. And as such, if you have land that's owned by a non-Jew, it's a real land, the real Bukoy, a non-Jew owns a field in Ramallah, so that land, since it's tachas yad ha'akom, it's under non-Jewish control, it's under non-Jewish ownership, so maybe the mitzvah atluyas baretz wouldn't apply b'zman hazeh. The same way if you have a non-Jew owning land in Surya or in Damascus, so we say that, well, the chiyuv is only midirabanan, so yesh koch liachem lafkia, so maybe yesh koch liachem lafkia in Eretz Yisrael proper as well. So in fact, this is not my suggestion. This is not even in the Achvarim. This is ready to be shown to have this. Rabbi Baruch has this idea. Rabbi Baruch himself suggests this idea that maybe Bizman Hazeh Eretz Yisrael is the halacha equivalent of Surya of old, and yesh koch liachem lafkia. The question is, can we accept this Rabbi Baruch or not? So the Beis HaLevi has one of his famous pieces in his Shuvas about the Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. So the Beis HaLevi points out that he thinks the validity of this Shita of Rabbeinu Baruch really depends on everything that we just introduced with. If you hold that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Bi'araisa, you don't buy into any of the kulas, so then obviously it's not negotiable. Then Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh is the same as Eretz Yisrael of old. We paskin halacha ein koch liakam lafkia. So finish that discussion. So even if you have land that's mamish owned by a goy, I didn't say anything about selling land to a goy. I'm talking about land that's mamish owned by a goy. A goy owns a field in Ramallah, it's still chayiv in Shemitah min HaTorah. All the din of Shemitah apply to it. That's if you hold that Shemitah bizman hazeh is deraisa. So if you hold that Shemitah bizman hazeh is derabanan, so then you can begin to negotiate, says the Beis HaLevi. And he says he thinks it depends on the machlokes Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rambam, why Shemitah would be derabanan bizman hazeh. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, Shemitah is the Rabbanan because it's a chisorn in Kedushas Ha'aretz. So to quote a pre-brisket term, it's a, basically it was pre-brisk, but since he was part of the family, we can call him, that's a din in the cheftza of Eretz Yisrael itself. It means there's something lacking in the Kedushas Ha'aretz. As the chisorn of the etzem Kedushas Ha'aretz, the Kedush of Eretz Yisrael is only Kedush of the Rabbanan. The klal of yesh koch liakam lafkia means that a goy can be mafkia a Kedush of the Rabbanan. So Kedushas Ha'aretz Bizman Hazeh is only midirabanan. Therefore, it's shayach for a non-Jew to be mafkia that Kedusha, and therefore Shemitah could potentially not apply in a field that belongs to a non-Jew. That would be according to the Cheshbon of Rabbeinu Baruch. But according to the Rambam, argues the Beis Halevi, according to the Rambam, there's nothing lacking in the Kedushas Haaretz. It's full-fledged Kedushas Haaretz. There's a total quirk, totally from left field, there's a tangential halacha called that there's no Shemitah and there's no Yovel. But that doesn't address the Kedushas Haaretz. So how in the world can a Goy be Mafkiya Kedusha D'Araisa? A Goy can be Mafkiya Kedusha D'Rabbanon, a Goy can't be Mafkiya Kedusha D'Araisa. So once the Kedushas Haaretz is D'Araisa, all the external Pturim of Dumi D'Yovel, although Malav Lemayri, it's not going to help, it's not going to affect the status of Mitzvahs at Lois Baritz. So says the Beis Halevi, there's a Raya Brur from the Rambam. The Rambam himself seems to say that Shemitah applies even to land that belongs to a Goy. That just because Shemitah is the Rabbanim is Manazet, doesn't it all lead you to the conclusion that a Goy is going to have any effect on the outcome in terms of the Halachas. So basically, the way the Beis Halevi presents the Sugya is that there are three possibilities as to what you think about Shemitah D'Araisa. If you think that Shemitah D'Araisa Bizman Hazeh, then you could forget about any coolers whatsoever in terms of Goyim. If you hold that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only Midirabbanon, then we can begin to negotiate. If you go the root of the base of the Rabbeinu Baruch, then we can make an argument for the case that the Goy can be Mafkiya. If you go the root of the Rambam, that has nothing to do with the Chisorn and Kedushas Haaretz, then there's nothing to negotiate. That's the way the Beis Halevi pretty much sets up the sugya. So out of three logical possibilities, only one of them is in favor of any negotiation even, in terms of a non-Jew owning the land. No, but it's still Midrabbanan. The Gemara speaks about observing Shemitah, but not the Amorim observed Shemitah way after Yovel was long gone. So at least Midrabbanan presumably applies. Even if one wants to take a more chumrah approach on this topic, to assume that the Goy owning land doesn't really affect anything whatsoever, one could perhaps draw the following distinction. There are two different parts of Hilchos Shemitah. There's what we call Hilchos Shemitah for the farmer and Hilchos Shemitah for the consumer. Most of us are not farming land in Eretz Yisrael. Most of us are not plowing land and not planting in Eretz Yisrael. When we talk about Shemitah applying Bizman Hazeh, we're usually addressing it from the vantage point of the consumer. What does Shemitah have to do with the consumer? So in addition to the Psukim explicitly about the Yisr Zariah, Harish, Tzir, etc., all the dinim that apply in Shemitah, Pashat Bahar, there are also a whole series of halachas that emanate from Kedushas Peirush Shviyas. Anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnasa Shemitah, even if it grew ahead there, it grew on trees. Trees were planted 20 years ago, so nobody did anything wrong. But the Torah says, V'chayis HaShabbos Ha'aretz Techem La'ochla, that there are dinim that affect how one eats the Peirush Shviyas. Some of the famous dinim of how one eats Peirush Shviyas, as one of the drushes the Gemara says, is La'ochla V'loy La'hefsed. You have to eat the Peirush Shviyas. You can't destroy the Peirush Shviyas. You can't just throw them out into the garbage. Those who have been in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah know the whole institution called the Pach Shemitah. Some people don't like that term, Pach Shemitah. They thought Pach is a not nice, pretty word. So they wanted to call it something else. But whatever you want to call it, still a Pach Shemitah. So the bottom line is that there are dinim that you're not allowed to destroy the fruit of Shemitah. Let's say there are halachas, if I buy and sell Peirush Shviyas, so that there may be Isurim of Schor of Peirush Shviyas. Not only are they assume we're doing business with Peirush Shviyas, but there are problems in terms of the money getting transferred. Kedusha, the Kedusha of Peirush Shviyas goes on to the money. So Peirush Shviyas Tefes Damav, that's a whole other dimension of Peirush Shviyas. Then there are halachas of beer Peirush Shviyas. I'm only allowed to eat Peirush Shviyas certain times of the year. After a certain stage in the season, I'm not allowed to eat it anymore. I have to do something, mafker it. Then there are other halachas that I'm not allowed to lock up my field during Shviyas. They have to let everything be hefker. There are a lot of dinim that emanate from Kedushas Peirush Shviyas, not so much from the Isser Malach and the Isser Avedis HaKarka of Shemitah. So could one suggest as follows? Could one maybe argue that B'medivar Mamurim, that Shemitah still applies in the field of a Goy, according to perhaps most of the Rishonim, maybe that's vis-a-vis the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that's concerning Sheishanim Tizra Sadecha, Sheishanim Tizma Karmecha, all the Isurim of Zariah, Harish, etc., those apply even to a field of a Goy. But maybe fruit that grew in a non-Jew's field, maybe one can argue that the whole Parsha of Peirush Shviyas doesn't apply. As the Torah seems to say, V'hoysa Shabbos Arts Bochem La'ochla, maybe there's a new drasha called Bochem Lo Liakum. Can anyone hear that drasha? Maybe. Maybe such a drasha exists. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe the dinim of Peirush Shviyas, which are 99.99% of the topic that we're interested in as consumers, maybe taka doesn't apply if the fields belong to a non-Jew. So this was a major, major machlokes, the gedoy le'olam in Tzfat. This major controversy broke out in the 1500s between the Beis Yosef and Ma'bit, two gedoy le'olam at the time, as to is there such a distinction? Can we argue that the whole parasha Peirush Shviyas doesn't apply to Peres Akum, or no, that there's no such shikul, no such distinction, that it applies in full force to Peres Akum. So the Beis Yosef was from the Mekilim, he was the Rosh HaMekilim, that Peres Shvias, the Dinim of Kedushas Peres Shvias, don't apply to Peres Akum, and the Mabit was the Bar Plufta. This was a running machlokes ad hayom hazeh. There are actually different halachim in Eretz Yisrael about this. The Bidig Yerushalayim has been pretty much lahakel, and pretty much remains lahakel b'zman hazeh. And the Minigan B'nai Brach and other places is that other people are machmer on the Shaila. So again, Adayim Ezeh, this is a very, very real issue. Halach Lemais, a person gets fruit, gets vegetables, whatever it is, let's say from real, bona fide, non-Jewish fields. He knows for a fact that it's absolutely owned by Goyim, it's been owned by Abdul and Muhammad for the last 500 years. And I want to know, do I have to worry as a consumer, do I have to worry about Kedushas Peres Shvias on this fruit? So according to the Beis Yosef, no, according to the Beis Yosef, it's not a problem. Do whatever you want with it. You can eat it, you can throw it out, there's no din of beer, there's no din of typhus dumb, the whole thing doesn't apply. And according to the Mabit, it doesn't matter who the owner of the field was, if it came from Eretz Yisrael, so then it's Kaddish B'Kedushas Peres Shvias, and you have to deal with it in the appropriate way. So different than Hagim Adayin is there, had a pasuk on this Shiloh. But everything that we've been talking about is assuming that we're dealing with non-Jewish owned fields, either vis-a-vis the Avedis HaKarka, like the original Shiloh, or vis-a-vis the Achilles Peres. But now we have a whole new dimension in the Shiloh, namely, let's say we don't really have non-Jewish fields, we really have Jewish fields, but we want to make them non-Jewish fields, because making them non-Jewish fields will, at least according to some opinions, get around certain parts of these halachos. Either it'll get around even Avodas HaKarka, according to some, or at least maybe it'll get around the issues of Kedushas Peres Shvias, according to others. So is that option exist? Is such a concept exist in halacha that I can take a field that's a Jewish field and, in effect, sell it to a non-Jew, and hope to spoke this, all of them of Shvita, maybe would not apply. Again, assuming that these facts are right, assuming that even a real non-Jewish field, some of these things would work, can we go the second step as well? So in theory, there should be nothing wrong with this, because this idea of selling something to a non-Jew to circumvent certain halachas is something that we're all familiar with. We just had Pesach a couple of weeks ago, so Mechiras Chametz exists on the radar screen. Mechiras Behema Tepata from Bechor exists on our radar screen also. So this is not the first time in halacha that we're trying to do a Mechira to, in a sense, circumvent a certain area of halacha. The question is, why should this be fundamentally any different? So there are a few reasons why. So one primary reason why is that there just happens to be an issur d'oraisa of selling Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. One of the dinei haTorah, one of the Targum mitzvahs is lo sechanim, and one of the meanings of lo sechanim is lo sita mechanoya bekarka. One is not permitted, the min haTorah, to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So this was the source of the famous comment of the Netziv, where the Netziv wrote became known as the Heter Mechira, the possibility of selling all the land off to non-Jews and thereby circumventing all the Shemitah. So the Netziv commented on this. He thought it was very strange because we paskin, like Rav Rishon, the Shemitah is probably only the Rabbanon b'zman hazeh. So we're standing on our heads to try to avoid Isurim the Rabbanon, and in the process of doing so, we violated Nisa D'Arais of Lo Sechanim. So the Netziv wasn't the biggest fan of the Heter Mechira. It wasn't so popular in Volozhin. The Beis Halevi wasn't a big fan of it either. But the Netziv writes that he found troubling conceptually that we're trying to solve a problem to Rabbanon, thereby violating an Issa D'Arais in the process. So obviously anybody who's going to advocate on behalf of the Heter Mechira is going to have to explain away why Lo Sechanim isn't an issue. You have to come up with some really, really good reason why you're allowed to do the Mechira in the first place. So many, many different reasons have been suggested over the last 100 years or so to try to explain why maybe we can somehow, we're trying to circumvent Shemitah, we can somehow circumvent the Issa of Lo Sechanim in the process. But what could we possibly solve the problem of Lo Sechanim? It's an Issa D'Araisa, it's a blatant Issa D'Araisa. So there are different suggestions that were given. So there were some who wanted to argue that maybe Lo Sechanim doesn't apply when it's done the Tavis HaYisrael. Maybe Lo Sechanim only applies when it's done the Tavis HaAkum. We have precedent for that idea. There's an issue of Matnas Chinam, giving a stomach present to a non-Jew. So there the Rishonim do point out that that issue is only when it's being done to Torah's Chinam, it's being done to give something nice and friendly, pleasant, etc. That's the problem. It's being done with Tavis HaYisrael. A person gives a tip to the mailman or something, or gives a tip to the babysitter or something. If that's done with Tavis HaYisrael, that would be okay. So some wanted to extrapolate from that half of Lo Sechanim to the issue of Lo Sita L'mchanoye Bekarka. If the Chanoye Bekarka is being done with Tavis HaYisrael, it's not because all of a sudden we have this tremendous desire to give all of our Yisrael away. We're really doing it with Tavaseinu, because we want to be able to work the land and eat the fruit and not to be concerned with Shemitah. So maybe when it's done with Tavis HaYisrael, that's not a violation of Lo Sechanim. So the Chazon Ish was vehemently opposed to that equation. The Chazon Ish said that the connection between those two is absolutely incorrect. The Chazon Ish said that the Isra Matnas Chinam is, that's what it's called. It's called the Isra Matnas Chinam. So when you're giving it the Chinam, it's also, when you're not doing it the Chinam, you're doing it with a price tag. I'm giving you a gift because now you'll deliver my mail even in the snow. That's not called Matnas Chinam. Is an isser b'fnei atzmo. He says there's an isser to sell land to Eretz Yisrael, to give land to Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Doesn't matter why you're doing it. The Chazanish says it's no less of an isser than eating bas b'cholov. That's his motion. He says doesn't care why you're eating the bas b'cholov. He said it's an isser b'fnei atzmo. That quirk that it's done the tovas Yisrael is mutter. That's only because of the unique dimension of the isser matnas chinam, which doesn't lend itself to the isser when it's done the tovas Yisrael. So the Chazanish did not think that comparison was at all correct. Then another popular suggestion that was given to get around the problems of Los Echonim was that maybe we're selling it to a Ger Toshav. And Ger Toshav, someone who is not quite Jewish, on the other hand, he's officially, formally committed himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, he's keeping the Shavuot Mitzvah Bnei Noach. So maybe the Dinim of Los Echonim don't apply to a Ger Toshav. So assuming that you could pick a Ger Toshav, Bizman Hazeh, assuming you can have such an individual, so that would be an interesting, cool and interesting way to, in a sense, avoid the problem of Los Echonim. There are a lot of problems with that suggestion. That one of the problems also stems from Parshas Tahar, that the Gemara Erechin seems to say that Ger Toshav doesn't apply when there's no Dinim of Yovel. Yovel hasn't been around for 2,500 years, so neither has the Ger Toshav. So that's a big machlekes in Hilchos Ger Toshav, Ram and Ravid, not for now, as to can we still reinvent the Ger Toshav as man as that? Can we have a quasi Ger Toshav as man as that? Is that even on the radar screen in terms of salvaging this issue, getting around this issue of Los Echonim? That's a very questionable thing. So there are a few different, again, a lot of discussion, Gedolei HaPosek in both directions, some who advocated for the selling of Eretz Yisrael, some who were opposed to it, and a lot of the discussion is not so much a Shemitah topic, that was the first half what we spoke about, a lot of the discussion is a second problem, namely how to get around this Los Echonim problem.
You assume Ger Toshav would be a goy enough to be mafkir the Kedusha of the land?
Yeah, for sure, exactly. It doesn't have Kedusha of Yisrael. Ger Toshav is zichna Kedusha of Kedusha of Yisrael, so that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is, do we have such an individual bizman as this? It depends on a tricky Ravid, about what exactly the Ravid said about this topic. But l'chora, one could raise the following possibility that no matter what happened to this Los Echonim problem, so what happened, whether you found a good hetter, you didn't find a good hetter, but again, I'm not selling land there, so I'm the consumer. I'm sitting around and I want to know, tachlis, can I eat the fruit? Or I'm the, I want to know, can I work on the land? I'm not involved in the Los Echonim problem. Zolzayim, they violated Los Echonim. Okay, worst case scenario. Somebody violated the Yisra Derais of Los Echonim. Okay, so they violated Los Echonim. So they violated Los Echonim. What does that do with me? Tachas, the land was sold. So by Nafkamina, whether a violation of Los Echonim happened. So here the Chazon Ish came with almost was mamash the nail in the coffin of the Hetter Mechira. The Chazon Ish said that if you hold that there was a real violation of Los Echonim, which he's absolutely convinced there was, he thinks none of the Hetterim were very good. He thinks there's an absolute violation of Los Echonim. So then the Chazon Ish has the following. He says that if the farmer himself would sell the land to the non-Jew and violate Los Echonim, that would be Halbatzara. So we'd say, okay, you violated Los Echonim, we're very sorry for you and showing, but the Mechir would be Chalba Di'evit. But that's not what happens. What happens is that the farmer appoints the Rabbonim as a Shaliach to sell the land for him, and that becomes much more problematic, says the Chazon Ish, because then we apply the rule called Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira, and once there's a Dvar Aveira involved, so then the whole Shlichus is bought. Only quotes your Taisus at the beginning of Bava Metzia, those were with us last year, we spent a lot of time in this Taisus. So the Chazon Ish put all these pieces together and he said that if you hold there's a violation of Los Echonim, which he says there absolutely is, so he says, and then doing it at a Shaliach, Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira kicks in, and Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira means the Shlichus is bought. So the whole Mechir is bought L'Mavotol. That's the famous Psak of the Chazon Ish. And then at the end he writes, the good news is that since the Mechir is bought L'Mavotol, nobody violated Los Echonim because he didn't sell land in Eretz Yisrael. That's a mixus nechama. Not to violate Los Echonim, I didn't have to spend time trying to sell the land in the first place. So that was the Chazon Ish's big chumrah gabi chumrah, that he was opposed to the selling of the land out of Los Echonim. And then he said, if you go ahead and do it, it's not going to be chabad the yevit. So actually, the last two shmitas, I'm not mistaken, there was a little bit of a tikkun that was made to get around this last issue that the Chazon Ish raised. Is that rather than having the farmer sell the land to a shaliach, what they've redone the shtar mechira in such a way that the farmer is actually sell directly, that the farmer mamash signs off himself on the Shtar Mechira itself, and that doesn't solve the world's problems, but it solves this last point that it has an ish. There are some other suggestions that were made in terms of some of the Getosha problems, that there may be some individuals out there in the world who may really qualify as real bona fide Getosha, but according to others, a Getosha has to be someone who not just observes the Sheva Mitzvahs, but he has to be someone who observes it B'toras Moshe. Means he believes it really was given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Moses at Mount Sinai, not just because he's a good ethical, moral person. So you have to look hard to find such people, so you may find some. There's a group of them sitting around South Carolina somewhere. So a suggestion was made, the last Shemitah, that rather than sell it to someone in Eretz Yisrael, an Arab, who doesn't necessarily believe in Toras Moshe, maybe we should import a special, one of the Noahide peoples. They would probably be a better non-Jew for these purposes. So I actually suggested this to one of the Rabbanim who was involved in the Hetzim Mechira last Shemitah. See whether if it makes it, so it came from me. But it wasn't only me. Many other people have made the suggestion also. So we'll see what happens. I don't know whether they're going to implement this change. But again, these are some possible tikkunim to address some of these little lakunas here and there. But the basic issue, the more lumdisha issue, putting aside the sechonim, is even if somehow this Mechira is going to take place, we're not even sure that it does anything to Mechira. Because we're not even sure, according to the Rambam, it doesn't do anything. According to many Mishayim, the Bechlal doesn't do anything. It's all their eyes, nothing happens. The whole Hetzim Mechira is built on this premise. Again, the Gedol the Olam who were willing to sanction Hetzim Mechira under certain limited circumstances. At the time when it first started, it was a tremendous Shasachach. So there were Gedol the Olam in Europe who were willing to sign off on Hetzim Mechira with certain stipulations and conditions and temporary, whatever. You look at all the literature yourselves as to the give and take of the halachic give and take. The political give and take, you have nothing else to waste your time with, you could do that also. But if you want to get the halachic give and take, so lo chaser what to talk about. And there are other Gedolei Olam who bechlal had the emazeh weren't very restful things. So the whole thing is not going to be effective.
Doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say that we can give kirim to a goy? The person shot at the can't do tzviva kirim.
That's for sure, Mutter, because that's not a matnas chinim. I'm doing it because I want to get out of Tulas Kalim.
So, here, I'm going to get out of
the problem. No, because there's an issa derais of losachonim. There's an issa, that's the chazanish tayin, that the issa of chanayat bakarka is not the same as matnas chinim. There are different kinds of isurim. One is an issa of matnas chinim. It's also for me to sell land to a guy in Eretz Yisrael also. Even if I charge him $1 million, it's also. I'm not allowed to give him chanayat bakarka. So, chazanish says, how can you say what Tavasa Yisrael is Mutter? If I charge him $1 million, it's also. I sell a piece of land worth 29 cents. I charge $1 million. That's also in the Sederaisa. How can you say that? Tell us, I saw was Muslim. That was the Chadish's Taina.
And so the whole Heter is based on the sheet of the Baba Kedusha. Then maybe those can come back and buy.
The question is is Lo Sechonim a function of Kedusha's agricultural part of Eretz Yisrael? Doesn't sound that way. That's based on the original Chassam Sofer. That's a din that's Nevea just from the fact that it's a special place. That's not an agricultural din necessarily. And it's very hard to build on that. You know, it's always a Das Yochid. Rebbeinu Baruch was not the majority of you, I don't think.
Is there a problem with Harama by the
Pirate? There may also be an issue of Harama. Harama, we're not as concerned with Harama and Isurim. We are more concerned with Harama and Mitzvah Saseh. So this is probably no worse than Harama we have by Ravei Motze. Haram we have in Mechiras Bechor, so we do haramas on certain things. So you're right, it's haram. And then there are others who were stam opposed to the Mechira on totally different grounds. They felt that the whole Mechira wasn't valid, not because of halachic reason. They felt that the whole thing wasn't serious and the whole thing was not really legal, because technically in Eretz Yisrael you can't just sell land just stam like that. It has to be registered. There's a whole land registry. There's a whole Turkish laws that are still binding in Eretz Yisrael today. So they actually, I think they put in there's a law in the Knesset now that there's an addendum to one of the real estate laws or something in Eretz Yisrael that even though you always have to go through the land registry and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but for the purpose of the Het Mechira, so it'll be Chaliv without that. So I think it's officially on the book somewhere. Somebody wrote it in sometime. Yeah. Renting, so that's already a very complicated story. We're on the scope of our discussion right now.
What's the svar of the Beis Yosef that we can feel it between?
He claims it's based on Sukkim. He has a Torah's Konim that says something about Lachem v'lo Yachom. The question is, what does that mean? Others say Lachem v'lo Yachom means you can't give the pair of Shvias to Goyim. It means something totally different. And the Beis Yosef has a whole discussion about that. What exactly that Beis Yosef means.
So you mean that farmer did the sale himself? There's no complicated Hanah from like an Avera?
That part, it's not really getting enough from the Averis, it's 15 steps removed. That's a further question. Ramesh has a famous tshuva about Lifniva by buying the Asrogim or Shemitah. back in the 1950s when the Ashrogim were coming from Eretz Yisrael were from relying on Het Mechira. Now the Ashrogim that have come today are not relying on Het Mechira. They have a whole different setup. They come from my pals who dance around Ashrogim trees. It's a whole different it's a base and a different setup for Gamri. From the oldest Ashrogim used to be based on Het Mechira, so Ramayisha writes that he thinks that you can buy the Ashrogim because the only one who's doing the Aveira is the Socher. He's doing business with Perish Shviya. So Ramayisha has a chiddush that the Yisra's Chayr is only on the Moich and on the Lekech. So he says the Moich is doing the Aveir, there's no Lifnei Yiver because he thinks it's Mutter. He asked his rabbi, the rabbi told him it's okay. So Ramayisha writes that Lifnei Yiver means when something that's also a Choladeus, but if something that's Mutter according to some, he got a Psach that it's Mutter. So Ramayisha says whether I accept that or don't accept it's irrelevant, I could still buy that Esrog. Then Ramayisha dealt with another important issue, that's the issue of Minam Ashumar. That there's a machlekes of rishonim. Let's say a person owned a field during Shemitah and it wasn't mafkrit. They didn't leave it open. They locked it up and they guarded the fruit, which they're not allowed to do. So does the fruit subsequently become usur or not? That's a machlekes Rashi and Beinatam. The last daf in Yevamos, is there an isur after the fact of minam meshumar? So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks mikra din we pass him a meshumar is okay, and therefore the esrogim are mutter biachila. Why is that important? Because you can't be yotzei esrog if it's also biachila. It's not called lachem. You know, the Gemara says in Sukkah it has to have yesh behetter achila. So Moshe has a whole chiddush in the sefer that there's no problem with neiver, and then there's no problem with min meshumar because mikra din we pass him a meshumar is not a problem. That's a very, very important tshuva. Bizman is also, let's say a person wants to eat perish shvias. Again, I'm not a farmer, I'm a consumer. I want to eat perish shvias. I'm not going to throw them into the garbage. I'm going to eat them bikadushas before the zman abir. I'm going to do the mitzvahs properly. But I know for a fact that these fruit were watched. I know they're relying on Het Mechira. I don't want to rely on Het Mechira. So can I say that even though I'm not relying on Het Mechira, can I still eat the fruit? So according to his judgment, Ramayish, I can still eat the fruit. Because what's wrong with the fruit? So they have kadushas. So you're allowed to eat perish shvias. You're not allowed to eat minam ashumar according to some rishonim, but maybe we don't pass him like that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in the Tshuva also like that. He writes that he thinks that mikra then we pass him, ashumar isn't the problem. Somebody told me that Rechosh Rav in Yerushalayim told me that the minhag of Yerushalayim is not like that. I didn't understand that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was the pesuk of Yerushalayim. He writes the Perish in the Tshuva that it's mutter. He told me that the minhag that way, maybe bizman hazeh, maybe 20 years later, it's not that way. But Ramayish Lamaisa was making on this. He held that minhag of Shumar, after the fact, is not really a problem against the sheet of Ravim and Tom. So again, there's a lot of exciting issues in Shemitah. This was mamish the tip of the iceberg. We didn't talk about anything about what you are and not allowed to do with the Perish Shvias. So maybe next year we'll have time to talk about some of these things.
The people who hold like the Mabi, so what can they do if they can't give you a Het Mechira or an online?
So they would have to observe, well, what they do is, they buy the non-Jewish stuff. There's a whole complicated issue called Svichen. Svichen means vegetables or grains, things that are generally planted, even if they grew by themselves, or prohibited in the Rabbanim in Shemitah, unless they were grown by non-Jews. So they always buy the non-Jewish vegetables, but they're still treating them with Kedusha Shviyas. So if you eat things which are Kedusha Shviyas, you just got to not throw the peels out, and you got to be careful with it, not eat pistols, not a beer. So a lot of details what to do. So that's usually what the people in the neighborhood do. Okay? All right. Good.